Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Friday, July the 31st, we've got to the end of another month. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. We're going to start today with some development news that loads of you are reading on the website. First, plans have been revealed to build 115 flats in Sittingbourne, but they won't have a single car parking space. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this. Lucy, tell us a bit more about the application then.
Well, developer Seven Oaks Limited wants to build the properties on land off Fountain Street, which is close to the town's railway station. Brief details were submitted to the council in March, and they've now had a full planning application through. The company say due to the location of the site, they'll be providing parking spaces exclusively for bikes, not cars. The land itself is classed as brownfield and is currently derelict. Back in 2017, planning permission was given for a 65-home apartment block there as part of the Spirit of Sittingbourne project, but that never happened and the permission since expired. At Kent Online, you can see what the new development would look like if approved. It would have three gated entrances, and we're told the flats would be made of 25 studios, 57 one-beds and 33 two-beds. It's not known yet when a decision will be made.
And Lucy, if we can move to Ebbsfleet now, a development there has been rejected. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, so this was a huge project for 3,500 homes and a new 8,000-seater football stadium. It was known as Northleat Harbourside, and outline proposals were approved by Gravesham Council in 2024. However, the scheme was called in last year by the Planning Inspectorate. It's now been turned down over health risks, the loss of hundreds of jobs, uncertainty over land ownership and doubts about the project's financial viability. Ebbsfleet United have posted a statement on socials saying they're surprised and disappointed by the decision. They've added that they're taking time to fully digest the report.
And finally, we're going to hop over to Maidstone. We've previously mentioned about office blocks being converted into flats, but what's happening now?
Yes, so after COVID and changes to how we all work, a lot of office buildings were no longer full and became surplus to requirement. That led to many being converted into living accommodation, but there have been issues with some, including Miller Heights in Maidstone, which suffered a flood in the basement earlier this year and has led to residents being forced to move out and a prohibition notice being issued. Essentially, the council don't want that to happen again, so are looking to close a planning loophole. At the moment, landlords can convert office blocks into residential properties without planning permission. Last week, the Borough Council voted to press ahead with an Article 4 order, which would change that for all buildings over 1,500 square metres of floor space in the town centre. Small office conversions to one or two flats would not be affected. Consultations were also brought in to look at the situation in Maidstone, and they found that 96.7% of the housing stock in the town centre was flats, often bringing poor living standards.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. You can let us know what you think on any of those stories by heading to them and leaving a comment on the website.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and more people cross the channel in small boats to Kent on Wednesday than on any other day so far this year. The Home Office confirmed yesterday 752 asylum seekers made the journey in 9 vessels. Investigations are also underway after 4 people died. 3 were found in a boat off the coast of France yesterday, the other drowned in a separate incident. A police investigation's underway following the death of a hedgehog in Ashford. Footage has emerged appearing to show the animal being kicked in Lacton Way last Saturday. It was taken to a rescue centre but couldn't be saved. A care home in Canterbury is going to be closed down following a damning inspection. A report's revealed residents at the Chase were regularly being woken up at 5 a.m. by staff, and some were left for several hours without being offered food or drink. The Care Quality Commission initially raised concerns last year and say things haven't improved. Residents who live there will now be moved. Now, next on today's episode, business leaders in Kent are calling for local government reorganisation to be delivered without delay to limit the impact on the economy. Our current 14 councils are going to be scrapped and replaced with 4 bigger unitary authorities. The deadline is 2028, but it's feared the process could be held up as some are unhappy with the boundary choices. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Tudor Price, who's the chief exec of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
We've recently heard from government now that they've made their decision as to how the local government reorganisation is going to take place. We're moving from essentially 13 local authorities and district councils down to 4 unitary authorities. Now, we understand that this is going to be a really unsettling and difficult time for those that are working in local government administration. But what we need to see now, and we're calling for not just us, but all our other sort of fellow employment representative bodies like the IOD and the FSB, we're calling for a really quick, smooth and minimal disruption to this transition time. It's going to be really difficult. What we're looking for is all of the leaders and chief execs of the councils here in Kent and Medway to recognise the need to try and get through this transformational phase as quickly as possible. And we're really hoping that they will play nicely together so that we can get on with the business of growing this economy and making everyone's lives a lot better.
Yeah, because of course 2 years isn't very long, is it, to kind of get this transition in place?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be a tremendous amount of work and there's lots of questions to be answered. But I mean, so far, we've been really impressed with the way in which council leaders have sort of worked together to try and put forward their proposals. We know not everyone's happy with the proposals that the government has chosen. We're not here to debate the rights and wrongs of that. You know, this is a local democracy issue. What we do recognise is that whilst this period of change is underway, businesses will pause. They will wait before they make any investment decisions. But you know, we need to get the other side of that, for better or for worse, rather like with Brexit, you know, whatever way you voted, you know, we need to get on and try and make the most of it. And we're in the same situation here again. We're worried that there are certain factions within the local government who are not happy with the outcome and may choose to raise objections and delay this transformation further. And I can, you know, we are pleading that they don't do that. They focus on getting the right side of the problem and we can all move on from this.
Kent Online reports.
You're being given the chance to say what you think about plans to extract more sand, gravel and stone from Kent, which bosses say is needed for building homes and roads. Part of the proposal is to turn an area of ancient woodland near Aylesford into a quarry for Kentish ragstone. Environmental campaigners say that would devastate Oakenden Woods. A consultation on the minerals sites plan will run until September the 10th. The organiser of a steam show in Kent has reassured visitors following concerns over fires during the dry, hot weather. Crews have been dealing with a number of blazes across the county and have urged us to be careful with barbecues and not to have bonfires. Well, the Weald of Kent Steam and Country Show is taking place in Woodchurch this weekend. We're told it has a private firefighting force on standby. Bosses at the country's largest commercial greenhouse, which is based in Thanet, have confirmed they're looking at ways to improve their water resilience and reduce demand on the wider network. Thanet Earth usually collects around 50 million gallons of rainfall, which makes them 85% self-sufficient. Well, following supply issues during the hot weather this summer, managers say they're investigating on-site supply solutions so they don't use any water that's needed for homes. Now, next, ahead of the new football season starting, a grassroots club in Kent has praised the work of its volunteers to keep it running. It's thought around 1 in 5 children in Faversham has a connection to Faversham Strike Force, where they've recently been highly commended in the Club of the Year category at the Kent FA Awards and are looking to expand. It's also, as new research shows, 4 in 10 club officials in the UK have considered stepping back due to the huge amount of paperwork. Well, I've been chatting to Lee Souter, who's development manager at Faversham Strike Force.
We face the same pressures that we've always faced around making sure we're sustainable financially and have enough players and volunteers. And volunteers are the heartbeat of everything we do. They, without them behind the scenes and on the pitch, we just wouldn't be able to function. So volunteers do really make our club tick.
How many volunteers do you have, if you've got that sort of data? And kind of how much are they giving to the club? How much time is it taking up for them?
Last season, we finished on 58 teams, almost 900 players. That included our mixed teams, all the way through to our walking football teams, our women and girls teams and everything. So we really are at the forefront of our community. There's a football team for everyone. And volunteers help us make that happen. We finished last season on about 179 volunteers. So in terms of the workforce, that is massive. Their social return on investment to the community is about 1.1 million. So that's in time given, and the impact they have. And we've calculated recently they have about 39,000 positive interactions with those in our community. So they really are the heartbeat of our football club and the heartbeat of our community.
That's incredible. When you lay it out in financial terms, how much that would cost if they weren't giving their time for free. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? And they're giving not just a couple of minutes here and there. I mean, this is hours, isn't it, that they're contributing to the club.
Yeah, absolutely. We calculate that it could be up to about 6 hours a week. But it's really important that people understand that when they volunteer with a football club, they're not on their own. We put support in place. We put training, mentorship, support. We try to make it that if you're part of our volunteer workforce, we are a family that look after each other and try to support each other.
And what sort of roles could they be doing, Lee? Because it's not just coaching, isn't it? There's an awful lot of roles within the club to keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone sees a manager and coach on the sideline. They're the face of the football club because we see them at training and match days. But without the army of volunteers behind that, we just wouldn't be able to function and be as positive and proactive as we are. So we are a registered charity. So we have a trustees, then we have a committee, we have a welfare team, we have people who look after fixtures, people who look after registrations, membership. There's just a real army behind us that are not always seen but are recognised.
We mentioned at the very start that the pressures on the football club. I mean, how sustainable your club is huge. I've heard a lot about Faversham Strikeforce. How sustainable is it going forward if you had more people wanting to join? What sort of pressures are you under at the moment?
I think the biggest pressure at the moment is access to pitches and facilities. That's the one we really struggle with. I think we've already demonstrated we can recruit, we can retain volunteers. I think pitches and facilities, not only having new pitches and facilities, but ensure that we can pay for them while making sure that football is affordable. We're in a cost of living crisis. So if you look at what our monthly subscription is, it's £20 a month, and that could be four training sessions and four matches. And I don't think there's anything you can do 8 times a month for an hour and a half each time anywhere. You can't go to cinema 8 times for £20 a month or go swimming or anything like that. So we've got that balance of making sure we're financially sustainable and affordable. But I would say the biggest challenge that comes with that is access to pitches and facilities.
I guess if anyone does want to get involved, are you still keen to hear from them?
Yeah, we're always keen to hear from good people. I suppose the conversation, and I don't want to set the agenda, the conversation was set up by Go Cardless. So I think just the spin on that, if there's anything that we can do in the football club to make it easier by using AI tools that make sure that volunteers not only maximize their own time, but their time with us, and it makes it easier and not frustrating, we do that. And we take around 90% of our income subscriptions, and we take the £20 that I mentioned, is taken through Go Cardless. And without someone like Go Cardless making that automated, making it regular, making it seamless, making it easy to report, we'd probably end up with having to recruit a number of volunteers in our financial department of the club, but also we'd end up losing. Because they'd just be burnt out and wouldn't be able to keep up with the reconciliation, chasing payments, collecting payments, and making sure that we are sustainable.
Kent Online reports.
Parents have won a campaign to get a bus service for pupils at a new school in Ashford. A walking route had previously been set up for Chilmington Green Secondary, but many said it wasn't safe enough. Stagecoach will run a twice daily service from Singleton from the end of August. The new Next at Bluewater has officially opened. The store has moved into the vacant House of Fraser, which closed at the end of 2024. It's the chain's biggest shop in the UK and includes an in-store Costa coffee. Hundreds of shoppers queued to get a first glimpse, and Megan Shaw from her colleagues at KMTV spoke to some of them.
I saw that a Next was opening this morning and thought I'd get in and get my chance of getting a goodie bag. I love going to Next for the children's department. I've got a 5 and a 2 year old at home, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what's in there today.
It doesn't open till 10, so what time did you get here?
I got here at 9, and I was surprised that the queue was actually so small because I thought people would be here very, very early. But I'm glad that I'm in the first 100, I think, so it's exciting.
Did you book a day off work especially for this?
No, I was off today, but I'm very fortunate that I get to be here this morning.
Tell me why you're here today.
Support my brother, he works at Next.
Is this a new job then?
No, he's been at Next for like quite a while, so yeah, just support him.
What time did you get here?
Around 30 minutes ago.
Excited?
Yeah, actually.
And what are you going to do with the rest of your day?
Maybe have a look around the water.
£300,000 is going to be spent on creating an inclusive and accessible play area for children in Herne Bay. There'll be wheelchair-friendly equipment and a sensory zone, as well as BSL and Braille signage at Memorial Park. Work's due to start on August the 24th and it should be finished in early October. Meantime, an adventure play area in Folkestone is due to reopen today following a £750,000 revamp. The Lower Lees Coastal Park was forced to close at the end of last year as cliff stabilisation work took place nearby. We're told it'll be the largest free facility of its kind in the southeast and will have additional seating plus buggy and cycle parking for families. And hundreds of original artworks by the Kent man who co-created Bagpuss are going up for auction from today. They were found in Peter Firmin's house near Canterbury as it was being cleared before being put up for sale. The paintings also include other characters he came up with, including the Clangers, Basil Brush and Ivor the Engine.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham play their final pre-season friendly tonight. They're travelling to take on Ebbsfleet with kick-off at 7. The Gills' first game of the new season is against Luton Town in the EFL Cup on August the 8th. A Kent wheelchair racer has missed out on a medal at the Commonwealth Games a day after thinking she'd won silver. Officials ruled the final of the T53 1500 metres should be rerun following a crash during yesterday's event. Ellis Cottas from Westmorling finished fourth. And in cricket, Kent welcomes Somerset to Canterbury today for their next game in the One Day Cup. It follows back-to-back defeats in the competition for the Spitfires to Gloucestershire and Lancashire. It'll also be Joe Denley's final game for Kent before he retires. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you are on the website today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. And you can also hear the very latest episode of the Kent Politics Podcast. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.